Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello. Welcome to this joyous episode of the Flats and Shanks podcast. I'm in a bloody good mood, David, so don't get me out of it now, all right?
We are upbeat as all hell, aren't we, today?
I tell you one thing, there'll be no number two stories today.
Well,
unless you've got a really good one.
I don't know whether I can tell it. No.
No, don't.
I mean... No, I won't. The what I'll say to you is this.
Was it to do with the JCB?
To do with earthworms. I've had a lot of feedback online since the last pod.
Oh, right.
And I'm not sure we've done many pods ever that where people have liked it as much as all of our poo stories.
Dedicated to Mr. Hankey, wasn't it really? The Christmas poo.
People liked it. People liked it.
I also had a few messages back to say really enjoyed it, couldn't stop laughing. Yeah. And yeah. I also had some negative feedback, which we like, which we do like, because
no, we don't.
Well, we do. You know, constructive.
I hate it.
It was from Andrew
Cotter. Yeah, go on, what did they say?
Andrew Cotter.
That was it.
He doesn't like poo stories.
Yeah, but Cotter doesn't do them, that's why, because he doesn't eat anything, just vapour.
The angels take it away.
He has a bit of dust and some snow. Cocaine snow. I'm just saying, at the top of the mountains he walks on.
Yes. He probably...
Probably
heats up the snow to drink his water.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Hey, so you're upbeat. You're feeling great. You're hydrated. You have not had a massive weekend on the hose, so you're not... the self-loathing is okay.
I had a few cheeky beers...
What are cheeky beers, by the way?
What I think cheeky beers are is when you don't mean to have a beer and then end up having five or six.
Yeah.
I know cheeky Nando's is what you have after you've had a wad. So you've done like a wad from 5 till 6 p.m. in your local CrossFit gym, like Karen or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And then you all go for a cheeky Nando's after. That's a CrossFit term, a cheeky Nando's. Yeah. But a cheeky beer is when you go in a local rugby club because you've just got back from Glasgow and you end up leaving your car there and having five, maybe six beers that go down a little bit too fast.
You cheeky old shite.
Yep.
You horrible bloke.
There's bouncy castles there for the kids to run around. So basically... You know, I could relax and have a laugh.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, well done. That's good. Something weird's happened while you were talking then is that a mate of mine was on my street and he texted me saying, I'm on your street. I said, why are you on my street? And he said, I'm going to the doctor's, which is down the road from me.
Handy.
Oh, yeah. Are you in? I said, I'm in, but I'm doing a podcast, so can't say hello. And he knows that I'm upstairs and he knows Freya is downstairs. He's knocked on the door anyway and he's come in. He's having toffee downstairs. I can hear him. Don't trust him, mate.
Good looking, is he?
No, luckily he's hanging and he's got terrible tats.
Oh, he's hung?
No, yeah, no, he wants hanging for his tats.
Okay.
Awful. And he's seeing the doctor about something awful as well, which I can't tell you. It's not like a horrible illness, but it's gross. And he's got a really square head. So you can't take him seriously. He's like a cartoon character. He's called Ollie. He's the one that you say is my new best mate, but he's actually staff. He's actually staff to me. Yeah. That's all he is to me.
Is he a super Maori? Does he have like Maori tattoos on him?
No, but he's got, he's got on his, inside his bicep, he's got dumbbell. And then he's just had a load of new ones, which are, they're like, I don't know, even know what language, I don't know what they are. They're
Chinese.
Like, they
look, most people have Chinese, right?
They're not. They're like, they look like twigs. They look like stick insects, but they're different ones. And they're a certain...
Hebrew.
Like Nordic something, Viking language for the names of his kids and wife or something.
Okay.
And because he has discovered that even though he's just a bloke from Bath, he's convinced he's... Because he watched that... Was it just called The Viking or Kingdom or something? The one with the
last
guy kingdom. That looked like Jack the Last. He watched that and was convinced that he was Viking. So he did his DNA test and I shit you not, it came back and he has literally got Viking blood, which was the worst result for all of us because he's about as much as a Viking as my dog is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's going to Morrison's to get chicken breasts like everyone else. He's not a Viking, but... He's had these Viking tats done now and he's got a stupid Viking haircut. I don't want to embarrass him because I feel like I'm hating
like Uhtred.
Him. But his name's Ollie Hayes.
Like Uhtred. He's from The Last Kingdom.
Uhtred, son of Uhtred. Yeah. Yeah, exactly it.
Yeah. I just finished the film, which is on Netflix.
What's it like?
It's good. I think it was like The Last Kingdom, Seven Kings or something like that.
I did quite like that.
Yeah. It was good. Well...
Very like Jack Noel, isn't he, Uhtred?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a proper warrior as well.
Yeah.
But he's fair. But he's fair, you know, and they're the best warriors.
But although the problem is, it came after Game of Thrones, mate.
And also, I suppose when you're a warrior, you don't want sons to come back at you, do you? So sometimes you're better off killing the whole family. So there's no feud.
That's why I did it.
Hmm.
That's why I did it. And all right, you go down for a bit, but once they get it, get the point.
Mm.
It's about legacy, isn't it?
I watched a great film, which I've not seen for a long time. You know, sometimes you watch something, I don't tweet that often. And if I do, it's normally piss take.
Slagging off Welsh rugby.
Yeah. Where's the new talent coming through?
Is there any yet? Have you spotted any yet, by the way? Anyway, sorry, the film.
But I watched The Road to Perdition.
Tom Hanks.
Yep. And it was amazing. I forgot how good it was. Mm-hmm. It's epic. I love everything about it. Sad, but you need a bit of sadness in a film. Because films need to play with your emotions a little bit. Yeah. You know, what you're like with your girlfriends and your wives. You're pretty good at that.
Yeah.
And it just has everything I want in the film. Great actors, casted brilliantly, great storyline.
I mean, obviously I've seen it, but I wouldn't remember. I can't remember. I don't remember stuff like that.
Please. Yeah, nor did I. That's why I watched it. I thought, do you know what? I'm a bit pumped up after Ruggers. Often you can't go to sleep. And I missed the last half hour, so I had to download it then the next day on my iPad and watch it at the airport.
You take your laptop. Oh, iPad.
Yeah.
I got to the point where, so I had a laptop and I'm like, yeah, I've got a laptop bag now. So I take my laptop and I'm like, no, I'm not taking my laptop. It's too big. Get an iPad. No, it's too big. Got an iPad mini. Too big. All I take is my phone. I don't take anything else anywhere.
Yeah, phone is your last electronic device. You know, you need to have something bigger. Like I could watch something on my phone, but it'd be my last choice. First choice would be my iPad. Second choice would be a MacBook.
Where do you watch these things?
Airplane.
Oh, see, I'm always in business class. They've got TVs.
That's long haul.
It's a joke.
and hotels. You sometimes stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do apart from like sit-ups and press-ups?
I just watch the entertainment they've got on the TVs.
Yeah, but often it's just Freeview. Not the hotels I stay at.
Well, I checked into a hotel last week and the lady checked me in, said, just to let you know that the adult movies are disabled. And I said, that is bang out of order. They shouldn't distinguish, you know, should be able-bodied as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. For a minute there, I thought you'd forgotten the punchline.
I had. I was like, shit, and that isn't it. That isn't it. A long day, mate. Oh, absolute nightmare. Not absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
Not an absolute nightmare, but enough. But I knew if there's one person who would spot and call me out for having delayed the punchline, it would be you. So well done.
I wasn't sure if it was like a dramatic pause or whether you were just searching.
I was trying to think, oh God, what comes next? Because if you were like, if we were in an absolute pub having absolute pints doing that joke, you could just swear loads at the end and it'd be funny. But
yeah,
because we don't swear much on this pod.
Or
we do the occasional naughty word, but we don't do many.
Or it'd make you drink a pint for like your stalling.
Yeah, bloody neck that, you old sod. Flatters.
Yep.
Cheeky pints to me, I think I've only ever had cheeky pints once in my whole life, and it was last year. Is that I went to walk the dog, and it was nice, hot. It was quite a hot evening. It was like, I don't know, half four or something. It was like, no rush. And I walked past the pub and saw my mate Neil from Glasgow, Neil the paint, because he's a painter. Saw Neil the paint. Hey, Div, you're always hello. So what was that, Neil? Nothing. Known him 20 years. No one understands a word he says, but he always does get the pints in.
He's like the guy from Clarkson's Farm.
Yeah, he's like Gerald. Yeah. Scottish Gerald. What ideas. He'd do a job. He'd come and price up a job. What ideas. He'd tell you the job and you're like, yeah, cool. That'll do me, Neil. Get me a price for that. Yeah, because what ideas? I was like, Neil, you've said what you'll do is. No, I'm just saying, like, so you're clear. What ideas, mate? That's three times now. I don't need you to tell me three times what the job is, because I've told you what the job is, because that's why I got you here. Can you give me a price, please? Whatever you want, Div. That was it. Just paying whatever you want. Mm. Great bloke. Anyway, I walked past and Neil the paint was outside and I said, oh, go on then. So I stopped for a couple of pints then and I said, I hope I don't get caught. And he popped over the road to the newsagent, came out with a pack of chewing gum for me. I said, there you go, mate. So I didn't walk the dog. Went about 100 metres, he did.
Cheeky pints.
They, for me, are cheeky pints.
They're good. As long as you don't kick on, as long as you stop when five or six, before you get too wasted, before you start puking, that's fine.
Two or three for me.
I don't know what you're like, but a few cheeky pints, banter starts to flow a little bit, and basically all we do is mock each other for what we're wearing. So you had Bubs, and he's found a new brand called Bellstaff, and he's got, I think, four items of Bellstaff clothing, and he just mixes up those four items every single time. So he's in different. He's ruined the brand for other people who had the brand before him. Now they can't wear Bellstaff because it's just associated with Pete Leckie and
Bubs and his Nudger.
Nudger's gone. He had that removed, but it's just every social is Bellstaff. So he got hammered for that. Then another mate of mine, Chris Sadler, he had a new pair of, you know, like the cool black trainers people wear, a lot of boys wear, go with jeans, you know, just like trainer shoes.
Yeah, sure.
And you know where the laces are on?
Yeah.
So the little bit of the shoe where the holes go through in your laces, they were so tight together that you couldn't see the tongue.
Like Kev Sorrell.
Yeah, exactly like that. Exactly like that.
Yeah.
So what have you under there, mate? Two mackerel. It's just the thinnest.
He's got one fillet in each shoe. It's not even a whole fish.
Unbelievable. My mate Rainbird, he's got to walk now like Ian Botham. Have you seen Ian Botham in that advert? He walks like him. It's just a bit top heavy. Who else? Oh, I was just That's what we like, though.
Savages.
I'm going to an event on. I'm going to an event tomorrow. Actually, it's Jamie Roberts' testimonial, and I've just had a look at the running order, and they were mentioning other legends in the room. Haven't mentioned me. I don't know whether I should flag that up or not.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What you got to do is.
Bafes is hosting it.
So yes, what you got to do is.
I'll make myself known. I'll sneeze really loudly to get everyone's attention. Everyone look around. Say, oh, sorry, it's me.
Just check if there are people on the list with fewer caps than you, then it's a mistake.
Loads.
Right, exactly.
Loads. Too many. I'm probably the most capped person there.
Exactly.
Second.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Doc was at the rec on Saturday for the game, and he was sitting up in the box with Jerry Guscott. Tactical, mate. Two lines together, tactical.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been a great combo. They wouldn't get on, I'll tell you now.
Well, neither of them would get the ball off the other one. That's what I was thinking. Mm.
Yeah.
They wouldn't get on.
Probably walked out and grumbled. Oh, God.
Yeah, God. Prick.
Yeah.
Prick.
Arrogant.
Hey, cheers, pal. Yeah. See you soon, yeah? You up in London? Yeah. Next time you're up in London, yeah? All right, pal. See you later.
Yeah, look after yourself. I know the ego.
Prick. See you around, Berland.
Oh, wank you.
Jerry's the sort of bloke to say, no, I'm all right, thanks, mate. If he actually doesn't like you, you say, do you want to meet up for a coffee? He'd be like, nah.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
And all fans.
Which I love.
I love them both.
Yeah, they're great blokes, both of them.
Yeah, but it's black tie. His dude's black tie, so that's easy. Unless someone's wearing trainers, then we're just going to hammer him.
There's always one rich bloke who wears red trainers, isn't there? Or there's a French guy who
wears
pumps.
I don't mind that. Yeah. But
Jamie will wear his Red Wing boots, won't he?
Yeah.
Even with black tie. His
trousers tucked into him.
If you say he loves them that much.
Do you know what I realised the other day?
Go on.
He has got exactly the same hairstyle as Martin Keown.
But he doesn't look anywhere near as surprised as Martin Keown.
No, but his hair is exactly the same as Martin Keown. Honestly. You have a look on the computer.
Does he hate you saying stuff like this? Like, are you...
He won't listen to this.
No, of course. No, but when you're with him, because I know you say it with him.
Probably. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly. Martin Keown got it. Wow. That is...
What are you going to do about it, mate? Cry?
Not a compliment.
That's what I say to him.
That's not a compliment.
No, I know.
You knew that. I think you knew that.
Yeah, of course I did. I saw him a match of the day, and I thought, ooh, Jesus.
I did... We finished watching Guilt the other night. Mm. Really good, BBC.
Relate
really
to that, good, can mate. You?
Eh?
Where's it set? The Nile?
right around the corner from the Nile. Really good.
Yeah.
Really good, mate. Mark Bonner is amazing in it. Everyone's really good. It's great. You should watch it. You should definitely watch it. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't. Is there a lot of showering? Is there a lot of showering?
It's a lot of showering and scrubbing. There, I started watching last night a program, which is not so funny, called A Small Light. Oh, and I think it's on Disney, but it's about a lady who hid the Frank family and Frank and her family during the war in Amsterdam. And it is really, really good.
Right.
It's so good that Freya stayed up until 10 p.m.
Oh, Freya.
But we just drove back from Devon and she slept all the way. It's sunny because she falls asleep. Don't know if your wife does this. She falls asleep. As soon as she goes to sleep, I look at the clock. And when she wakes up, I know exactly how long she's been asleep for. And I don't say a word. And I was like, nice sleep, because the baby was asleep too. That was perfect. Nice and quiet. I'd love to have been asleep, but I was driving quite dull. Couldn't have any music or anything. So just driving in the quiet. And woke up and she was like, yeah, I know. I was like, you know, it's 40 minutes, but I was awake for it because I couldn't get comfortable. I was like, okay, it was 1 hour and 30 minutes on the dot and you were snoring. Why do you have to reduce how much you say you slept? Why do people do that? I didn't sleep for long.
Sign of
like
weakness.
It's a crime to sleep.
Sign
like
of weakness.
It's a crime. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I timed it, mate. It's 90 minutes on the button, pal. It might have even been 91 minutes.
Maybe she's just resting her eyes.
Yeah. Flop running down her chin. I mean, wasn't asleep. Wasn't asleep.
Yeah, they're the best opportunities for a little photo. And you can bring that out then, birthdays, Christmases, bar mitzvahs.
Yeah, it's true. I was driving and baby in the back. I don't like using my phone.
Anniversaries, so in like 9 months' time.
Yeah.
Still married to this one. It's a record.
Lol.
Yeah.
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 This one is, we've done the this one chat on this pod, and it is awkward because loads of our friends will have done this one. Another year with this one. Great holiday with this one. Cheeky couple of cheeky pints with this one. Mm. I don't like the this one chat.
My
don't
rock.
Like it. The main thing I don't love is, which I reposted a thing of on my story the other day on Instagram, is when couples who love each other send each other messages as if they are talking to each other on social media. I don't hate it. It's just like, I don't understand it. I don't understand you for doing it. I don't need to. You don't need me to. But can you just tell me why?
Pick up the phone and text each other or call each other.
Yeah, or they're together in a room. And then one of them replies saying, and you are my inspiration and I love you. And I'm kind of like, if it's like, happy birthday to my wife, Bobby, love you. Cool, with a picture. That's great. But this is not. You are everything to me. You need this. You are the son, well, whatever
it is. Bobby. I don't know any Bobbies, apart from one that was in Home and Away. She was Donald Fisher's daughter.
Shall I tell you why it's on my mind?
Why?
Two reasons. Some lads were laughing the other night when I told them the only concert my parents took me to when we were younger was Bobby Brown.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. That's my prerogative. Anyway, and the other one is that we've had all the tests done and stuff because of my brother being disabled stuff. We have to have loads of tests done on the baby. Mm. So we have a million scans and whatever.
Yeah.
And we've absolutely genetic tests done. It is a girl. So I'm having daughter number 4. Lucky me. So it is a girl. Shut up, mate. Shut up, mate. So it is a girl. Anyway, yesterday, down in
Henry Devon, Henry VIII.
I know, we saw some of Freya's family and her Aunt Sally, who is a great lady and who has been, she's a medical practitioner, so she's bright, she knows about science.
Yeah.
She does the ring test to test the gender, yeah. Right? So she did it, not knowing what we were having, because we already know, because science has told us it's a girl.
Yeah.
And it's been confirmed. She said, it's a boy. And Freya said, I'm sorry to tell you, it's a girl. And she looked Freya dead in the eyes and said, no, it's not. Oh. She said, no, it is. We had all the tests done at the BRI in Bristol. We had all the geneticists
what
and stuff.
Week was
and she
it?
Was like, no, it's not. It's a boy. So now we're convinced that we're having one that, you know, basically, we're having, we don't know it will happen. So basically, we're only thinking of names.
Yeah.
That could be either boys or girls. That's why I said Bobby.
Will you have a definitive test?
We've had it.
But then why?
Oh. Why is she doing the ring test?
Yeah.
Good question. Great question. It was almost like, don't we need the ring test? Because we've had science has told us what it is. No. Don't worry about that. Lie down.
30, 60, 120 grand you're going to need for weddings, fella.
You can't get married for 30 grand now.
No,
I'm joking. Those days are gone. Those days are gone.
Not you.
You don't have to pay for the whole wedding.
Mate. You're old fashioned. You don't cook and you take the bins out.
Nah. I don't know how much my first wedding cost because my former ex-father
it was a blur.
He was a great bloke. Paid for it. And he's a great bloke. We still get on brilliantly and he's very, very generous. And but I do know that I walked in, I said, I'm happy to help plan the wedding and do that stuff, but I don't want to know about the prices because I heard a price for a dress that she was going to get. And I said, I actually don't like that. Like, I don't love that. I don't love the idea of spending that much money on one thing that you wear once. It's like you're going to buy a Rolex and you wear it once and put it away. You're not going to sell it. It's just going to live in a drawer and never going to come out again. I'm like, actually, could do something else with that money. So it was, I was like, no, I don't like it. And but I know it cost an awful lot, and I just don't. That's why we had such a small wedding. It's not about being tight. It's about being. We're going to have a big party at some point, and you'll be invited with all your kids. But it's like,
fuck that, man. I have a stag, for God's sake.
I know. Pack it onto Powley. But it's like the whole thing of
boys are
massively expensive weddings that all look the same. I'm just
boys are losing respect for you, and I say it to your face.
We're not face to face though, so you're not. But when we are, you'll say it. I thought Powley was on it.
That's such a weak excuse.
You can't organise your own stag. Well, it's tragic.
You can.
Why don't you organise it?
Because you're the main person that needs to come on it. So we need to arrange a date and a time that's suitable for you. Where
you've literally got an events company. You take people abroad to tournaments. You can do this.
Where we can go and do what you want to do. And whether that's fishing with your hands, you know, where you've got to tap the water and try and fish out a trout.
Can we just go to car shows around Europe?
Or we can do something like that. It's quite cool. But you've got to do something. You've got to do something. You're not.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
I'll never be able to let it go. And it'll always come between us.
When we stop this pod, I'm going to text Powley and say, can you sort of stag out for me, please? Because he hasn't let me down many times as a mate, but everyone knows without saying it that this is his job, don't they? Because he organises stuff.
I can help him.
I don't organise anything, ever. Not interested.
No, I know.
Can't do it.
I know. You're like Beyonce.
I can't do it, mate.
You're like Beyonce.
I just can't do it.
So, yeah, we need to get that sorted. But anyway, yeah, big party, big bash. Yeah, that'd be great as well.
But I don't want this whole, like...
Dressing up.
Do you know, weddings are great. I like weddings. They're great. On Instagram, certainly this time of year, someone's always getting married and it's great. 9 out of 10 of the photos that I see, if you blocked out the names and the faces, they could be the same wedding, which is fine. I just didn't fancy that a second time. I just didn't fancy that at all.
I'm with you. I don't have to justify tens of thousands of pounds
on it.
It's just a stag. It's just a stag where we won't even dress you up, mate. We can just go out. As I said, it's for your mates, okay? You're letting your mates down on this.
Do I have to come? I'll come.
Yeah, it's fairly important. You don't have to stay for long.
Remember a mate of mine saying, we should go to Poland. You can shoot anything in Poland. It's like, what do you want to shoot? Yeah. Anything. Like, can you shoot people? No, anything else though? No. I don't want to do that.
Only if you eat it.
Yeah, I'll text him as soon as I get off, right? And I'll say, look, can you sort something out? Because I'm going to have 12 kids soon.
You will.
Bloody hell, 4 girls, mate.
Netball team.
4 girls.
You'll have to go again.
Nope. The good news is the girls, actually, my 2 older girls, have absolutely no interest in rugby whatsoever, which is fine, don't mind. Not bothered about that, but they did see on telly some of the England game, the Grand Slam game at Twickenham, where they just got a zillion people to watch, and they absolutely loved it. I think it was just under 60,000, which is amazing. And for England, France, Twickenham, and they've actually expressed some interest. They don't want to play, but they do now want to go to watch women's rugby. And it's like, well, the Men's World Cup's coming up in France. They're like, yeah, we want to come. Do you want to go to the games? Are you going to Paris? Want to go to Paris? I'm like, yeah, but if it's the Women's World Cup, this is promising, because they actually want to watch the games. Because in the Men's World Cup, they're not bothered. I said, I'll probably be able to get some tickets. I'm working there. And they're like, no, I'm all right, thanks. But they do want to watch the women's stuff. So that is, you know, that is progress, mate, because I like rugby, and it'd be nice if they didn't completely disregard the thing that takes up a lot of my time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be nice to share that experience with them. But then you've got to pay for them as well. So just remember that, right?
Yeah, but that's why I said do the ones I'm... Come to the games where I'm working and I can probably get you in. Do you know what I mean? You'll have to sit with someone else. But
and also...
A really good experience to share with them. I won't see.
Also, then you can spend 6 weeks over there on your own. You don't have to come back.
Yeah. Yeah, although... I'm not going to France until the quarterfinals. I'm in London. Oh. I'm in London until.
I'm not going.
Well, I am going out to France, but I'm not actually working on any games in France until the quarterfinals. I'm doing them from London. So there's a bit of like stuff going on in France. And then it's like Eurostar back, do the game, Eurostar back to France.
If anyone wants to employ me through the Rugby World Cup, just get in touch because I am available. Cry me a river. Yeah, dry your eyes, mate.
Comes up, doesn't it? We've all got our time in the sun and then it fades. So, you know.
Yeah, it becomes
luckily,
night.
I've got multiple other businesses that I started when I was a player and they're all worth huge amounts more than... Oh, no, sorry, I forgot to do that. I was too busy having fry-ups, walking the dog and watching The Wire on DVD. Like everyone else. It is. It's a funny time of year at the moment because... Well, it's not that funny, but there are lads retiring now who a couple of years ago wouldn't be retiring because there would have been money for them to have another year or two somewhere. But you've got lads just dropping out the game now. I'd love to know the number of retired players, especially in England. That's obviously where most of my attention goes. Number of players retiring at the end of this season compared with other seasons. I could be wrong and it could be the same, but I think it could be a lot more.
There's a lot in Wales because contracts aren't being offered. So,
yeah.
Although I have seen Dan Lydia has gone back to the Dragons.
Oh, get in. That's good.
So he's found a club. He's still performing. He's still doing
all
right.
That's good. There'll always be room for someone. There'll always be room for someone who's brave with good technique.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
One of the original choppers.
Yeah, like he's an absolute chopper. No, if you, because he bashes people and he's brave. There's always a place, or almost always a place, for someone like that. Whereas I do think, apart from like the Jason Robertsons of this world, if you're basically a good player, but you, I don't know, I do think, I just happened to be talking to a coach the other day in Bath, and it was like a rugby coach, not a Bath coach, an ex-Bath coach, actually, and it was just like courage is massively underrated. So
yeah,
without it, you cannot win games. If you've got one weak link in your team, you're struggling, but if they're really good at something else, you can sometimes get away with it. But more and more, it's like the lads that you see folding out the game are either old and knackered, or actually there's a bit of talent there, but squad sizes are coming down, so you need warriors. And if they're not warriors, they're out.
You need players that, obviously it's a game of evasion, but you need players that sometimes just want to take on other players. And to do that, you've got to be brave. You don't necessarily have to be big. You can be powerful, but you have to be brave. And also tackling.
You've got to be hard, yeah.
You know, 50% of that is down to bravery and courage because you've got to go low and it's going to hurt.
Well, that's what I really meant. I actually meant the physical stuff. Yep. Like, you've got to be hard. And you haven't got to be rock hard, but you've got to be hard.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Not everyone's Dan Lydiot, but I'm saying if you, you know, hopefully Dan Lydiot's on 10 million quid a year, but if you've got someone of that quality and you think, well, actually, because of the way the rugby world is, he's not going to cost us as much as he would have done a couple of years ago. You're going to put him in for 15, 18 games a year and he's going to leather everyone. You're like, yep, we'll have him, please.
Yep.
Maniac with a bit of technique. Like Lewis Moody. It's like happy days. You know, you'd love him in your squad. Whereas you've got lads who are, you know, who can do a bit and who can play a bit. But actually, when it comes to it, doing 25 games a year and knuckling down, they don't love the bish bosh.
When I was at Scotson at the weekend, right, and you don't get this very often, but I was pitch side and Munster were warming up behind the post, and I honestly could not get over the size of RG Snyman.
Really?
Mate, I just kept looking at him because you see, he's massive, right? He's probably the size, like the height of Devon Toner. So he's big.
Dev 6'10"?
Around that.
Yeah.
But he is thick set as well with it. So he's not just wiry. He's just all in proportion. He should be WWE. Yeah. Like, I was just, look, and he's got a mohawk and he looks angry.
And he's good,
and
mate.
He's brilliant. But just the legs on him is massive. The arms on him are huge. You know, he's Esabeth.
It's like when you see Will Skelton, isn't it?
Yeah, it is like that. But it's like, Will Skelton is huge, but he's probably not as toned as RJ Snyman. Like, he just looked, every inch of him was muscle, whilst Will Skelton is just naturally big. Like, if that makes sense. But
he's thick.
Honestly, I was like, oh my And I was looking at him thinking, do you know what, I'm really glad I don't play. Because...
Oh, mate, you'd bash him.
I wouldn't know where to start.
You'd bash him, mate.
He'd be one of those you have to let run past you so you can tackle him from behind.
No, mate.
Head on
it's
head.
It's like when we played against Sale Sharks and they had Chabal, and it was like, right, the first time he gets the ball, someone's got to twat him, all right, because he won't like it. He won't like it. So about his second or third carry, he basically took a short line out and in and came at the second defender, which was me.
Yeah.
And I was up for it, mate, at this point. Yeah. I was, you know, legs on full power. I was just a couple of minutes in, no scrums yet. I was ready to go. I was mad for it. And I thought, I am going to leather him. And he got the ball, and as he like ran in, he tried to get the ball through the gap between me and another defender and get the ball away. So he like had his arms up, so I had a whole rib cage to hit.
Mm.
And I wasn't like a big hitter, but I properly nailed him right on the point of my shoulder, right in the ribs, nailed him. And a couple of lads were like, great hit, flats. Anyway, yeah. Watch it back on the video. He made about 3 meters through contact, got the ball away. It's like, I've smashed him. No, you haven't, mate. No, you haven't. So sometimes you can try your hardest and you just can't do it.
But you did tackle him, so.
I got him down. It wasn't a missed tackle, but I thought he was going to get stretchered off, and actually he offloaded and got up and took part in a great try in the end, and I was really pleased for him.
Tripped over your legs.
And yeah, I was really pleased for him. Yeah.
He touched the ball before I got back up.
Like, yeah.
There's not a booklet on how to tackle him.
Like Henry Tuilagi.
Yeah.
Well.
Even Alex, mate.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Like,
I know.
That's a great clip that always pops up on Instagram of him and Shane Horgan, where Shane Horgan cheap shots him a bit, and then he says,
I'll see you, bro.
And.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bulldozer.
Nightmare.
But in all fairness, Shane Horgan goes for the tackle, goes low, gets bulldozed over, and I think Alex ends up tripping up over him. So. He does get rocked.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, I know.
Poor Nick Abendanon announced his retirement this week.
Oh, I know you rate him highly.
Oh, man. And there's just one game.
I do as well, but you played with him, so.
We played Leicester and he just got, mate. I never saw anyone get bashed in a game like that many times. Like now, it had just been off in 5 minutes. But the Tuilagi boys, like everywhere Bendy went, he just hit a line and just one of them just saw him coming and bounce him like a pinball machine. Like it was... Someone said after the game, it was cruelty that he should have been taken off. And you're like, actually, it was verging on unfair. He was still one of the best players on the field. Like, he was honest.
That's bravery.
I know people know that Nick Abendanon was a good player. There's good players everywhere, mate. Everywhere you look, there's a freaky good player. He genuinely is, I think, one of the most special players of his generation not to have played loads of times for England. He's truly.
How many times did he play?
Two caps. But they had Mike Brown there, and when you're picking an international team, like Bendy's one of my mates, right? So I'm completely biased. But it's like when you're picking an international team, you could say I'm biased. You want high ball, you want last ditch tackling, you want basics first, unless you've got a Jason Robinson who's the freakiest player in the whole world. But actually, what Bendy did was he was actually super brave. But Mike Brown was probably technically had the edge and the high ball and that sort of stuff. But he was defensively super brave. But just no one ran a ball back like him. He was just unbelievable. He's turned so many games for us. Amazing.
Because it does hurt. And you know it's going to hurt, but you've got to do it again.
Yeah. But he learned from the master, mate. He learned from Matt Perry.
Yeah.
So when you're coming up through the ranks and the guy ahead of you is Matt Perry, it's like if you're not brave... You're toast, mate. You're nowhere near the 23 because, you know, Pez is Mr. Brick Wall, isn't he? So, bravest guy there ever was sort of thing. So, it's he learnt from the man.
You've got a war with him.
Oh, with Pez. Yeah, you'd have to sober him up first and get him out of bed, but then he'd be up for it.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk?
Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What have you done this week?
Just, well,
where have you been?
Well, on Friday night, I had a couple of mates over for a barbecue. I had Matt Powell, Danny Grucock and Stuart Hooper, who announced he's leaving Bath as well this week. So Dan was coming over anyway, and I just saw the news on Hoops, and I thought, well, he's not working at Bath anymore, so it might be easier. So I said, do you want to come as well? So we had a really nice time.
Get the dirt.
Yeah, a bit, but not. I mean, do you know what? It was kind of like, we all probably quietly acknowledged that it's probably not what he wants to be talking about all night, really.
Lee Blackett's gone there. Do you know that?
Yeah. So that's, but they sacked Joe Maddock. And again, I can't quite remember what I said because I haven't seen the show yet, but I talked about the highlight show, and it's like, our show is, it's a show based on opinion, but it's neutral opinion. It's neutrality, right? And you just got to be honest. So I think the honest thing is, it's difficult for me because Joe Maddock is a mate who I love, and Stuart Hooper's the same. So it's difficult for me to talk objectively, you know. But I did, hopefully. But yeah, so Lee Blackett. So for me, it's like I really want Lee Blackett to do well because I want everyone to do well. But I do feel sad that Joe Maddock has been sacked.
Yeah, he's done well at Scarlets, mate.
Yeah, and I think he did brilliantly at Wasps. Yeah. Let's be fair. So I think, you know, that wait and see on that. But yes, I did that. And then on Saturday, Tommy, what we did was, because it was Super Saturday and it was the last round, everyone kicked off at the same time. I commentated on the Bath game, which was high drama, considering it's an eighth place qualifier.
Yeah.
It was like, and Manu Vunipola's attempted chip and chase at the end went badly, and effectively Ollie Laurett, that got Bath through and knocked Bristol out of Champions Cup next season. So pretty savage. But then after that, the ITV crew and Topsy and everyone came back to my house, and we actually filmed the last few bits in my garden over a barbecue, which was nice.
Yeah, that is nice.
And then went down to Devon for a few days, just got back.
On Thursday, went to Peter Thomas's wake.
Ah, how was that?
He said a memorial service in Llandaff. Yeah, it was brilliant, as memorials go. The church was absolutely rammed.
They're allowed to be brilliant. I think you're allowed to say that.
Yeah, it was emotional but heartwarming and funny as well. And Gareth Edwards did an amazing speech at the cathedral, at Llandaff Cathedral. It was just amazing. Like it was warm and it was sad. It was funny. There was laughs. His daughter, Debs, did one as well, and his granddaughter, Grace. And then we went back to Carter Farms Park, where there was a wake. And Richard Holland, CEO of Cardiff, Craig Davis, his son-in-law, and Jiffy all did speeches as well. And they were all brilliant. They're all good. All got their own stories on Peter. And it was just lovely to see everyone. And then I went to Michael Bublé then in the evening, because it was Dave Allison's birthday, and he had booked out the Ivy Asia he'd booked in Cardiff. Oh,
yeah.
Bubs is leaving. He just put the shutters down.
Early one, is it?
But I turned up, and I probably had about 7 or 8 pints at the wake, and I was a bit slurry.
Yeah.
But the food there was amazing. And then we walked across to Mode Point to watch Michael Bublé. Don't remember any of it. I remember his first song. He came out. It was Feeling Good. You know, Birds Flying yeah. High.
And after that, it's a blur.
Yeah, I can't remember what else. I think he might have sung some of the Christmas songs. Couldn't tell you. But any quiet moment in the concert, I was shouting, Josh Navidi, because he was there. Just people going, shh.
You're that annoying.
Shut right? up. So sorry. But it was it was nice food. Good concert. Good company. I met one of... Now, it might have been one of the producers or one of the directors of a series on Netflix, a wildlife series. It's right, three parts. We talked about it before, and it is it's about wolves on the Island of Seawolves. Did I tell you to watch that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was absolutely brilliant. So I was just probably nosing him about it.
I think I watched it.
Yeah, you might have done. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's.
I don't remember.
It's sort of Attenborough-esque, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. All right.
It's good. You know, captivated by it.
Okay.
And then headed across to Glasgow for the weekend. Should we chat a tiny bit of rugby? Semi-finals in the URC.
I feel like it's too late now.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to give a real quick brief.
You've got your notes, haven't you? So you got no, I haven't. You've got your notes. You have.
These are my blueprints. No, I follow. I don't need to notes, mate. I follow URC every weekend.
All right.
It's automatic. Connacht beat Ulster, which was a bit of a shock. So they're through. They've now got to go to Cape Town to play the Stormers, who beat the Bulls, which we thought would happen.
Yeah.
Leinster easily beat the Sharks. Didn't think they'd beat them by so much. And then Munster beat Glasgow in Scotstoun, which didn't see that one coming either. Glasgow's form has been really good. They had a pretty decent team out, one of their strongest teams. Although they did play Stafford McDowell at 12 and Sione Tupulotu at 13, and Hugh Jones was on the bench.
Mm.
I thought. Stafford McDowell has been awesome, and I think he might get in the World Cup squad for Scotland, but you just think combinations may have played a part, but there was a red card to Tom Jordan, which ultimately decided the result, and that was, I think, 27 minutes into the game. But look, I'm online tomorrow on the URC Unloaded show. Please tune in, listen, because we need you. We need the focus. Go on.
Hey, Samson Lee's back.
Sure is.
Samson Lee's
bit
back,
late.
Fella.
End of season. No.
Yeah.
It's great.
Good on him.
It's great.
Won a penalty in his first scrum, mate, against Newport.
Yeah, man.
Good lad.
The bloke was born to scrummage.
Of course he was. He's a blocking. Gregor Townsend signed a new deal. Well done,
yep.
Gregor.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Duncan Taylor's leaving Sarries.
Yeah.
Top fella, mate.
To go where?
Super DT, don't know, but really, really good fella and a good player who's had horrible, horrid luck with injuries.
Deceptively fast, right? Because
yes.
I watched him once catch Tom James down the left-hand side, Wales v Scotland at Principality Stadium. And
there you are.
He got him. And Tom James is no slouch.
Steve Borthwick's taken on Tom Harrison, the Leicester Tigers scrum coach, for the England job, which now means... I think he's taken every single Leicester coach.
Surround yourself with good people.
Guess who else he's taken? Contact and skills coach. Rocky.
Tony Rocks.
Our mate from Sarries.
He was with the Sevens for a bit, wasn't he?
Yeah, how class is that? Rocky's England coach now, mate.
To be fair, right, Sevens, some of the contact work in the Sevens is absolutely incredible because there's so many contacts. You have to be that good. Because a lot of penalties, well, there used to be a lot of penalties for going off your feet, so you need to be shit hot in that area. So,
yeah.
Clever signing. Kind of signing I would do.
Yeah, very clever. Chuff for Rocky as well. Because he, for a bit of reference, people, if anyone ever does any running, he's, you know, there's a lot of big blokes around. Tony Rock was big. Like, he wasn't a giant seven, but he was stacked up top, massive chest, big arms, big abs. strong bloke, fittest bloke ever, absolute engine, played sevens for England and all that stuff. He once did a 3K run around the track in his trainers in 9 minutes and 15 seconds, which is fast. 3K in 9:15.
Wow.
For a pro rugby player starting open side every week for Sarries, was punchy.
I think 11 was my best. Mate, and that was because I just 15. Had an argument with my missus.
We lied to him. We were like, he was quite relaxed about it. He goes, oh, it's just day one of pre-season, just getting a marker. And we're like, yeah, but tone, mate. Pat Sarnason did a 9:30 apparently last week. And I don't know why he had a thing with Pat Sarnason. I don't think he did, but he didn't like that. Mm. And he was lapping us in about a minute and a half. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
You're not, so we had to also run around us.
You're not built for 3K, are you?
Well, not built for 1K.
No. Centimetres.
But I can bench 150 for 10, so don't worry about it. Easy. I don't think I can, actually.
Full reps, though, because you've got bad
shoulders. No, only halfies. Yeah. Only halfies. Blame the shoulders.
Cuban bench.
As my mate said to me a while ago in the gym, how come when you're warming up on the bar, you can go all the way to your chest, but when there's weight on it, you only go halfway down and blame your shoulders?
Yeah.
I said, I'm not stupid, fella.
Got to put a little block on your chest so you don't go all the way down.
Yeah, not stupid, mate.
Yeah, got visions of you benching now, like you see in competition. Hooked your legs underneath.
Oh, mate.
You're not that flexible.
I can't do it. I couldn't do it if I wanted to. I just changed gyms now, but there are a couple of people at my old gym, a few that used to do that. And I don't know why. Like, people driving terribly actually annoys you for a reason, because it puts people in danger. But someone else doing their bench, it's like, why do I care? Why can't they just do their own thing? I don't care what other people do in the gym. That really annoys me when people do that. Super curling back up in the air type. It's bizarre
because they're trying to do big weights, but they can't. They're just trying to
lift what you can, not what you can't. Yeah. Just lift it up and down. No one else in the gym cares what you're lifting.
No, It's a macho thing.
Yeah, we've all got a mate that once you've been to the gym with them, you're never going to lift what they lift anyway.
No,
so don't worry about it.
I gave a really quick brief on the URC. Semi-final weekend, which was only 4 games, but
okay.
I challenge you to do something similar.
Well, we don't need to review what's been because it's Wednesday, but Tuesday. What I would say is this weekend semi-finals are extra large. You've got Sarries against Saints, so you've got the best team in England, Sarries, against the best attack in England, really, Northampton. Can Northampton be consistent? Can they put any defence out of the bag? Can they weather the Sarries storm when Sarries have got the ball? Can Sarries deal with their attack? Really, that'll be interesting. But without question, Northampton winning that match will be an upset, without question.
Yeah.
So, but then you've got Sale Sharks against Leicester, which is the one we're going to, and on the Sunday. Now, that is way less predictable. That's two brutal teams with a bit of magic out wide. And when Sale are on it, they're properly difficult to play against, but so are Tigers. And you'd make Sale your favourites because the stats tell us that the home team wins whatever it is, 105 times out of 3. Whatever it is, the home side almost always wins semi-finals. But if you put them at a neutral ground, you wouldn't put a tenner either way. You just wouldn't tell. So that's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that. It's Andre Pollard against George Ford. It's the Dupreer brothers against Jasper Visa.
Yeah.
It's properly tasty, that. So, yeah, looking forward to a bit of that.
Any others? Big win for Bath.
Oh, yeah, but Sarries put out a really, really young team. And at halftime, they were ahead. And you're like, Mark McCall was having a right laugh. He was loving it, you know. But we were like, this is great. Bath... No one expected this. This is great drama. And then Bath absolutely smashed them to bits in the second half. Ted Hill, come from Worcester, is freaky good. Freaky good. Ollie Lawrence is the full ticket at the moment. He's causing... Bath's two best players come from Worcester this season. So I think... And they... You know, Bath did look considerably better, as they might have done, but... Because... When Vunipola goes for the chip and chase in the last minute, Ollie Lawrence, I think whoever charges it down and scores, and that puts Bath through and puts Bristol out, who are playing Gloucester at Ashton Gate, puts them out the top 8 in Champions Cup. it's easy to say, what on earth is he doing? But this is a game with nothing riding on it for Sarries. They were probably told, just have a go for the whole hour and a half, lads. Just do what you want.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourselves and have a crack at them. And they for 40 minutes, they were great. They were great. But yeah, it was an absolute spanking in the end. But
because, nice way to finish.
Yeah, because the points difference, all that, the technical stuff. And I was with Nick Mullins, which makes life, and Brian O'Driscoll, which makes life a lot easier because Nick's on top of the maths, do you know what I mean? So, and you get it fed in your ear with BT, so you know where you're at the whole time. It's, you stay on top of it, and it was properly like, they're in, they're out, they're in, they're out. Yeah. And it was really, really good drama, actually, on a day that could have been a bit dull.
Even if, you know, you're not going to compete at the top level in Europe, it's still good to go in there. You should still have aspirations.
Yeah.
Because you're still playing against the best teams in Europe, which drives more people, I think, in through the stadium, because you get to see better rugby potentially against better teams. And you might lose, but you're still seeing some of the world's best come to your stadium. And that's what it's about. And
it's true.
You've got to aspire to be in a top tier European competition. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah, you're right. It's on, definitely true. But the sort of the other, not the other side of it, you're definitely right. Definitely, there's no other side to it. But when you've got squads who've really struggled in the Premiership, then doing Prem and Champions Cup against top-notch teams,
yeah,
you can see them really struggle domestically, because they, you know, that's why, you know, you can see teams putting out second teams and third teams in the Champions Cup, because they know that the lads just can't keep going every week. So it goes both ways. But I don't disagree with you.
All right.
Look, well done, all right, mate.
Look, you've been really bubbly today, and that's how I remember you. I remember the first time I looked at you and I thought, he's a bubbly one. He's going to be bubbly.
He's vivacious. And you've been club shanks today. You've been club shanks, not home shanks today, which is good. The shanks we all got at training, you've been that one.
I haven't had any club duvet. My club duvet's been all right recently. right.
Look, keep going, boy. Enjoy tomorrow night at Docs Do.
Yeah, good. I will do. I'm going to enjoy every month of it because it's a long one.
You staying over?
Yeah. Staying over, coming back, and then off to Tinsley's Golf Day.
Thursday night.
But I've got to leave Friday. I can't stay for the proper dinner on Friday because I've got to go to Dublin, which is really annoying, but work first, mate. Work first.
Pay bills, yeah. Well done, boy.
Exactly. Laters.
Bye, everyone. Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.